Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host here, as always, Austin Peterson, and I've got my co-host Landon Mance here as well. Landon, how are you, buddy?
Coffee-free Landon checking in.
So in other words, don't count on Landon for much in this episode, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah, basically.
All right. So yeah, today, Landon, we want to talk about, let me just start, you know, if this is your first time listening, welcome. We're glad you're here. Hopefully you've heard some of our episodes in the past. Hopefully you enjoy what you hear today if it's your first time. But today we're going to talk about why a strong network is game changing. So, you know, we've talked about networking in past episodes, but now we're talking specifically about a strong network, right? So Landon, let me kind of kick this off a little bit. And, you know, when I think about this, there's a couple of things that come to mind for me. First is, you know, I went to business school. And so I actually graduated with my MBA in 2008. So it's been 16 years since I finished my MBA program. But I think back to that when I think about a strong network, right? So it was a two-year program. I went, I think it was two nights a week, every week for 2 years. And so you're working during the day and then you're going to school at night and you've got study sessions in between, all these kinds of things. It was a demanding time. And the education was good, but I had already owned my business or businesses at that point for several years. And so there were some things that I kind of already knew, so to speak, that were being taught in the program. Not to say that I didn't learn anything or that the education wasn't good, but the value of that program is really the 60 other men and women that I went to school with, right? Because they all had different backgrounds. They all come from different industries. They all have different experiences. And that network for me to be able to call on that even 16 years later, like I talk to people, I have some clients who are former, you know, students and members of the class. And so being able to reach out to somebody with different experience when something comes up and I go, oh, you know what? That person can help me on that. And I will reach out to that person. That was literally the biggest value of the MBA program. And I paid a lot of money, as most people do, to go to a two-year program and have those letters behind your name. But it's really the network, as far as I'm concerned, compared to the education.
I wonder if one of the reasons behind that is because you guys made such a significant investment, a monetary investment into the program. Because I'll speak for myself. If I think about my alma mater, I don't really have anybody that I went to college with that I still keep in touch with. So I wonder if that has to do with it. You know, when you make a significant monetary investment into something, especially more as an adult, because, you know, you're still kind of a kid when you go to college. And when you go to business school, you're generally not really a kid anymore. You're usually a more mature adult because you're going 25 to 35 years old. Generally, is people, you know, when people are going to business school, and, you know, we're all starting college at, call it 17, 18, maybe 19 years old. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that has something to do with it, that you made a big investment? And so people are a lot more committed to the program. They're committed to building relationships and they're committed to, you know, expanding their network.
I think it could have an effect, right? Because you're absolutely right. You've typically worked in the workforce for at least 3 years is kind of what they would like to see from an MBA program. The COVID, the pandemic, all that kind of stuff shifted that to where, like, they started accepting people right out of undergrad, right into business school. And it's not that they haven't done it, but they typically want you to have some actual work experience before you go through an MBA program. So it could be that, but I would actually think that it's probably more so that you just at that point have a better understanding of the importance of relationships and having access to people who have experiences and background that you do not have.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Because yeah, looking back now, if I would have known what I know now about relationships and my network and business, then I would have definitely made a much more concerted effort to stay in touch with the people that I went to school with, you know, in college, that, you know, were in the same classes, studying the same things, facing the same challenges, and you're doing that with the same people for multiple years. But I don't think I have anybody that I keep in touch with. Now, that being said, if I meet somebody on LinkedIn and I can see that we both went to Cal State Long Beach, there's an instant connection there, right? Even if we never knew each other, never spent any time with each other, maybe we don't really have a lot in common, but if you have that in common with somebody, you know, that's a great way to, you know, when you're looking to build and expand your network, that's a great way to connect with people because it's an instant connection point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, another thing that comes to mind for me is, and we've talked about this a little bit on some past episodes, but you and I at different times, me still currently, have been part of Vistage groups, right? There's other ones out there. There's YPO, there's EO, there's you know, these peer network groups where you're in there with other business owners and you've created this network with those groups, right? And so the power really comes down to, and if I haven't really kind of driven this point home, I don't know if I have, and that's that it's really about having people that you have a pretty strong connection with, that you know, you like, you respect, you trust, that they know what they're doing in their particular field, or just that they bring value to you in some other way, right? And so you think to the times where whatever, somebody's in need of a great CPA. Well, if you've got a network of one or two or a handful of CPAs that you know are great and that are great in certain aspects of tax, based on what they need, you can make a recommendation because you have a strong network. Or if you have a question or a need yourself about something, the idea specifically as a business owner, because a lot of times we're just on an island here, is that you've got to be able to right away think, oh, I should call Landon for this, or I should call Jim or Jessica, or, you know, whoever it comes to mind based on what it is that you need help with, right? So I'm part of a nonprofit here in the Valley, the Brain Injury Alliance of Arizona. And the head of that nonprofit will send me a quick text message from time to time and say, hey, do you have a few minutes to chat? I need to run something by you, right? That's because I'm part of her network and she knows that as a decision that comes up that's, you know, either financial related or business related or just something that she's seen from our interactions in the past that makes her think Austin's who I should call to get advice on this. She's able to do that because I'm somebody that she knows that she respects and that she trusts my judgment in certain areas that she may be lacking in. That's really what we're talking about here as far as a strong network is concerned.
You can turn to anybody and get advice, but if you want to get high quality sound advice around a specific topic, there is a very finite amount of people that can do that for somebody. And I think for us, that's something that we've focused on for many, 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 many years, is building out our network of very competent, proactive, highly experienced practitioners, so that when our business owner clients come to us and say, hey, I need this, or I need advice on that, well, whatever it is that they actually need done, whether it's a service, a product, advice, a conversation based on experience, whatever the case may be, we know that we have somebody for what our client needs in that moment. And I think that's another thing that other professionals and other business owners can do to bring value to their network of people is to have people like that, that they can just at the drop of a hat reach out to, and they can be very confident that the advice or the experience that they're going to rely on from this person is going to be really high quality.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really important point, Landon, you know, because if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know if that really matters. I mean, I've got people that I can rely on. I don't know if it's really a true network. If you own a business, you want to be able to bring more value to your clients or customers than just what you do for them, right? So let's say you own a tile cleaning company. Well, you want your clients to reach out to you for other stuff too, right? Hey, I was thinking about replacing my tile, or I was thinking about cleaning my carpets too, or replacing my carpets. Do you have somebody that you recommend? If your clients are thinking of you to ask that question, you've got a client for life. Because they know that you're bringing more value than just the service or the product that you offer to them.
Good point. And so let's just like talk about like a couple ways that business owners can actually do that and like get to that point where they feel like they've got a pocket full of professionals that they can cherry pick when needed. One thing that comes to mind, well, you already mentioned like peer groups, right? So peer groups are a great place to start. Vistage, EO, a new peer group, Tribe. I just got introduced to Tribe the other day. Our buddy Dale Majors up in Utah is a phenomenal entrepreneur and he's starting some peer groups. So there's a lot of peer groups out there to check out. That's a great place to start because that's going to generally attract pretty high quality professionals and entrepreneurs. Some other places you can start would be like a BNI. So my partner in Nevada Tree Service, Luke, he joined a BNI, which is, what's it stand for? Business Networking International, I think.
I think so, yeah.
So BNI and LATIP are probably the two most popular business networking groups. Some groups are certainly better than others. So you got to be really selective in the group that you join. But that's a great way to like start building out your network of other professionals and business owners so that when you run into the situation like you just explained, right? That was a great example of the tile cleaner, that you've got that network of people. So a BNI or a LATIP is a great place to start. And essentially what those groups do is they bring together a group of anywhere from 5 or 10 on the low side up to 40, 50, 60 on the high side. They're bringing together a group of business owners, solopreneurs as well, together generally weekly. And you are not going to be, you're not collaborating per se, but you are coming together either physically in person or over Zoom, and you are sharing introductions and referrals. I think a group member talks every week and tells their story. So that can be a great way to start to build out your network of other professionals. A caveat to that is it takes a lot of time to really know that somebody is a competent professional that you can rely on for quality advice. Like that's not something that you figure out over the course of a few weeks or a few months, because sometimes you got to like refer people to them. You got to dip your toe in the water and kind of test things out and see how they react and how they handle certain situations, because that's what fills up your trust, you know, and reliability bucket with somebody. It's a bunch of small little things that happen over time to where eventually you get to the point where you're like, gosh, I'd be silly to send my client to anybody else other than this particular person, because I know every time I send someone to this person, they do a phenomenal knockout job. And then it makes me look a lot better because I sent you somebody that is not just good or average, but they're exceptional.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to feel comfortable referring somebody, because if it's a relationship that's important to you and you're referring them to somebody else, that reflects on you, right? So you've got to do your work, you know, your due diligence, whatever. You've got to vet them. You've got to get to know them. You've got to understand their work and their quality of work, really, more importantly, before you're comfortable doing it. But having that network that you can turn to either for your own advice or for referring your own clients, it really is a game changer. It elevates you in the eyes of your clients, and then it just allows you to feel more comfortable that whatever comes your way as a business owner, as we all kind of muddle our way through this, building our businesses, that there's going to be somebody in your network that you can reach out to for advice on whatever it is that comes up that's brand new and that you're just not quite sure how to deal with.
I saw a, I think it was a tweet from this guy named Clint. I think it's Fiore. Yeah, he's the business broker out of Texas. And he did a post the other day, and he talked about how valuable building out his network has been. And he used a couple of examples. And the first example was, because he's built out such a vast network, a social media network of tens of thousands of followers across his platform, he said, when I need to hire somebody, all I need to do is do one post and I'll get 10 to 15 great applicants for a position. So there is so much value in having a good network these days. And, you know, that's something that we've been trying to focus on, is building up our social media network of like the right people. And it is not easy to do. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of consistency and a lot of trial and error. And we are very much in that building period, because we've got decent networks, good networks, but we don't have great networks. And the power of having a really great network, it brings value in areas that you wouldn't even think about. Finding advisors, investors, operators, all of that can be done relatively easily if you have a really strong network.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually a great closing point for today, Landon, and something that I'm glad you brought up, because I hadn't thought about it. I do know that it's something that I do not rely on heavily enough, is the social network, right? Because I don't know the exact number, but I've got, you know, somewhere around 10,000 followers on LinkedIn, right? It's rare for me to post something on there asking for advice or asking for help. You know, I mean, even just the mention that you just had, right? When we've made some hires in the past, like, why didn't we post something on our LinkedIn about what we were looking for, who we were looking for, to do the exact same thing that Clint just mentioned? So we're not just here to give advice, we're here to learn as well. And we've, for me, I just noticed that that's something that you and I don't do nearly as well as we should. I've seen you do it a few times, you know, looking for something for the tree company or whatever, but it's definitely not something that I use a lot. And for us inside of Backbone Planning, we haven't used it probably as well as we should have, because between the two of us, we've got probably close to 20,000 followers that we should be tapping into and are not doing as often as we should.
Yep. Well said. And we are not afraid to put ourselves on blast, are we?
Yeah, we don't have all the answers. We're here to provide a platform that hopefully, you know, shares some advice with business owners that are out there and trying to muddle through. We definitely do give advice to business owners day in and day out. It's a big part of our business. But we even tell our clients, you know, we don't know everything. But if we don't know the answer to something that comes up in our conversations and our engagements, we have a really strong network that we can rely on to get that taken care of for them.
Yeah, great place to end. And guys and gals that are listening, we put this out to be a valuable resource to our network, right? So any reciprocity would be greatly appreciated. You know, subscribe to our channel, like the posts. You know, we've got a phenomenal newsletter and content program, and we'd love to plug you into it. There's no cost. So hit us up if that's something of interest. But thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the next one. To your success.
You've been listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests, have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.